just a couple quick things. I don't know if Doug mentioned them, but the Colettes are out of town. They're traveling today, so just lift them up in your prayers. Coming back from North Carolina. Eric's out sick. One of the couple times he's been out sick all 5 years. And then we want to praise God for Spencer. Spencer's with us today, little Spencer, and that was pretty cool because he's looking pretty bad a couple days ago, but he looks all excitable again today. So praise God, amen. All right. Hey, let's go ahead and look at the Word. We got Matthew chapter 28 today. If you need a Bible, please go ahead and raise your hand. We got plenty of Bibles for you, but we're going to be looking at Matthew 28, verses 16 through 20 today. And if you could turn there, that would be good. Hey, Bernadette, can you turn on the light back there? You flip that light switch. Good to see some of you. Got some faces in here I haven't seen for a while, so I'm really happy to see you. All the old faces in here, I'm happy to see you too. Matthew chapter 28, verses 16 through 28. Today's message, so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. We started this church 5 years ago, and a couple years ago we added another component to our purpose statement. Our purpose statement is to love, follow, and share Jesus now so that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. And the point of today's message is really that last part. That's the end goal right here, to get other people, to get new disciples making other disciples, to make disciples reproduce themselves, to get us off of these benches, so to speak, and not just be listeners of the words, but doers of it, so that more and more people are coming to then love, follow, and share Jesus. So today we're looking at Matthew 28, 16 through 20. It's our fifth anniversary. We got lots to celebrate today. We're going to look at some of those things and look at the times that are going to come ahead of us, Lord, that the things that the Lord has already outlined for us to accomplish in His name in the future. But this is a famous passage. I've only preached on it another time, so it's not going to hurt us, I think, to hear it again. All right? Matthew 28, verse 16. Now the 11 disciples did what? They went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. The main point of this story, the main point of every story, the main point of everything that we do as a church should be about Jesus, right? Amen? Jesus. These people went to hear Jesus. And if you're familiar with the Bible, this is pretty much the last things that Jesus says to his disciples before he ascends into heaven. So these are going to be important things. Okay, Jesus is the most important thing that we're discussing about today. And then on top of that, Jesus is the gospel. We've been doing a lot of talking about the gospel and our need to communicate the gospel so that others come to love, follow, and share Jesus. But guys, Jesus himself, he is the gospel. He is the gospel. These guys come to hear his words one last time. We're coming here to hear his words again today, 2,000 years later. And notice what we're going to talk about today. These disciples in verses 16, 17, 18, 19, and 20, these disciples are wrapped up in this same purpose statement. These disciples, we're going to see, love Jesus. These disciples have went and they're going to continue to follow Jesus, even after his ascensions. These disciples are going to be his apostles who go out into all ends of the earth and proclaim, share Jesus. So, in particular, verse 17, starting with our purpose statement, to love Jesus, we read, and when they saw him, when they saw this person, Jesus, what did they do? They worshipped him. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. When they saw him, these guys dropped to their knees and worshipped this guy named Jesus. I don't know about you, but I have never dropped to my knees and worshipped another person, right? We learn something totally unique about this person, Jesus. He is worthy of all worship. That's what makes him different than other religions. Even other quote-unquote Christian cults who call themselves Christians, they don't put Jesus as an object of worship. But we come today to love Jesus because we see that the apostles loved him also. And guys, worship is the ultimate form of love. Worship is the ultimate expression of our love for someone or something. As Americans, we love to worship everything except for Jesus. All right, I want you just to think about this. As Americans, we worship lots of stuff. We worship our cars, right? Make sure it's all shiny, no nicks in it, unless you've been driving around for 12 years like me. All right? We love to worship our careers. We clock in lots of hours, don't we? Our titles, our positions, those are things that people worship. They spend lots of time. They spend lots of treasure. They spend lots of talents on these particular things, worshiping their house, worshiping their status, their prestige, their position, worshiping their spouse, worshiping their children. You can do that, can't you? Can you put children before Jesus? Okay, worshiping the family, worshiping a church, right? Worshiping our bodies. That's a pretty good one. As you notice, I don't do that. But there's a thing in America where, you know, we just hit the gym, and it's our bodies. That's what's important. Worshiping the environment. Okay, we as Americans, we love to worship things. The problem is, the Bible tells us the one thing that we are to worship, the only thing that we are to worship, is Jesus. Through our times, our talents, and our treasures. So look at these words. They saw him, they dropped to their feet, and they worship the Lord. Why? Because Jesus is worthy of all love, of all worship. If you continue with me in verse 18, we read, "And Jesus came and said to them," what? "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's why you should worship me." Everything, all authority, all power in heaven. Think about that. He's the dude. And everything on this earth globally is under my authority. That's why it's okay for you to worship me. And I expect it. In the New Testament, we have these images of Jesus as the king, right? We've been talking a lot about him as king through the book of Acts. He is the king. And we as loyal subjects of the king kneel before the king. If we don't kneel before the king now, there will come a day when you will kneel. And you don't want to be in that position. All right, you want to kneel to him now, not later. Also in the New Testament, we see that Jesus is the Son of God, right? Christmas. All right, it's not about gifts, it's really about the gift. The Son of God who came to save. Also, in New Testament, we actually see here that Jesus is not just the Son of God, but God. Anyone have a problem with that? They worshiped him because he was worthy of all worship because he is God. The Word, God himself, the Logos, became what? Flesh, so that we could see God. We worship Jesus because he's the king, because he's the Son of God, and because you know what? He is God. Amen? Okay? And then here, though, look at the last phrase in verse 17, though, okay? Going backwards just a little bit, but some what? Some doubted. There are people possibly in this service today, there are lots of potential Christians around this world who still doubt what I'm talking about right here. Some doubt it. Some were not willing to get down on their knees and worship him. And today, many, many millions and billions around this world are still unwilling to get down on their knees and worship Jesus as God. We, as the Way Fellowship Church, we're totally weird, but we're totally biblical. We love Jesus to the extent that we worship him on Sunday morning, on midweek Bible study, as we gather together in those two events, and then also as we scatter in our individual worship of Jesus. Okay, now, because he is king, because he is Son of God, because he is God himself, we worship him. What does that look like? What does that look like to love, follow, and share Jesus? It begins with this new birth within us to worship a God who loves us, a God who came to save us. How do we follow him? What does it mean? What does it look like to love Jesus? We continue in verse 19. To love Jesus means that we're going to do these next two verses. Okay? He goes on to tell his disciples, go, therefore, because you love me, because you're willing to worship me, because I have all authority, go, therefore, and do what? Make disciples. Make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Now, we've talked about this before in Bible study and again 2 years ago when we looked at this passage together. But the main imperative, I'm a Greek English teaching nerd, but the imperative is a command. The main imperative in this statement is the what? Make. Okay? The word go is at the beginning, but it's actually a participle. That means it has an ing ending to it. The best translation is make disciples. How? By going, by baptizing, and by teaching them to obey all the commands. Okay, in the original Greek, it starts with the going, so it should be emphasized. As you are going, as you guys are just doing life, as you just are living life, you're supposed to be making disciples, making disciples with intentionality through baptizing and through teaching. So let's talk about these three things. First, going, that just means as you're living. You might be called by God to go to South America with us in a year. I think that's where we've targeted for sure. And tell people about Jesus there in South America, in some country in South America. You might be called by God to go somewhere in America and share the gospel. Your neighborhood, somewhere in the state of Arizona, as you're going in your job, in your work, in your neighborhood, with your friendships. But most importantly, just this recognition that, guys, God just wants us to do it right now, where we're at. He's put you in Phoenix, Arizona for a reason. So that as you are going, number two, you will make disciples by baptizing. Look at this, by baptizing. What does it mean to be baptized? 2 or 3 weeks ago, we had another baptisms, right? That was pretty cool. We've got lots of baptism. I'm going to talk about this in like 2 minutes. But first and foremost, what is baptism? Baptism is an act of obedience. First and foremost, if you say, I love Jesus, then you're going to obey him and you're going to go get yourself dunked. If you love Jesus, if you worship Jesus, then the first thing that you're called to do is to get dunked, get baptized. Okay, so first of all, baptism is an act of obedience. Number two, baptism is a symbol. Okay, class, does baptism save? No. Baptism will not save you. Going under a bunch of water will not save you. I do that at my neighbor's house all the time. It doesn't save me every time I jump in the pool. Baptism, then, is a symbol. It stands for, it represents something else. What does it represent? When you go under, it represents what? Your death to yourself, to your sin. When you pop back up, it represents what? New life that you have in Jesus Christ right now, and the resurrection that we will experience on the other side of eternity, right? So first and foremost, baptism, it's commanded. Do it. If you have never done that, come talk to me. We'll do it. We like doing that. Okay. Number two, though, it's symbolic of the inner change that occurs within you. Not this outer thing, but what God has done within your heart to make you forgiven, to make you his. And then third, what is it then symbolic of? It's declaration of your commitment to the Lord. Why do we get baptized? Because Jesus was baptized. He called us to do it. It's symbolic of our declaration to Jesus. Public proclamation that, you know what, I believe that Jesus is what? God. And that he came to save me. I know this sounds a little crude, but when you get baptized, it's like you got the t-shirt. You got the membership card. You have publicly told everyone that you're all in. Okay? Now, let's talk about the Way Fellowship Church and baptism. Okay? Travis, we didn't talk about this, but you're just going to like, you know, when I point, you're going to hit the next slide. Cool? We've been together for 5 years, and we have seen lots of baptism. Our first, let's go trivia. Who was our first baptism? Do you guys remember? Kayla. So, our first year together, starting in 2007, September was our kickoff launching point, 2007. Some of you guys were in that room. Okay? It was about 6 months, 7 months later, Kayla came up to me and she had a breakdown moment during one of our services. God came upon her. She surrendered. And later that May, I think it was a May, we dunked her. June, it was six, yeah. I can't count. Okay, we dunked her. Had a big party and we dunked her. And Kayla was our inauguration for baptism. It's pretty cool, right? 2007, we had two baptisms. So later on, at the end of that year, we also baptized Michelle. Do you guys remember Michelle? Someone needs to quiet that baby down. Whose baby is that? PK. But we celebrated two baptisms in our first year. And we like baptisms, right? Because it's a visible symbol of people who are committing their lives to Jesus, right? Okay? All right, next year, 2008. Zero baptisms. We should have been shut down. We had zero baptisms. How does that make you feel? A little sad? A little sad? All right, 2009, we went up to one baptism. Old Bill. Remember Old Bill? What? Where at? Oh, we don't have a picture of Savannah? That's right. Savannah. All right, so our tick just went up one more. All right, Savannah. We don't have a picture of that, though. We'll have to find one. Okay, so we had two baptisms in 2009. Thank you, our historians back there. Now, 2010, five baptisms. Remember these? You remember that? Who's that? Megan Shockley. Remember the Shockleys? They're now in California. Okay. We also had that guy. Remember that guy? Josh. Okay. Number three, we also had this guy. This guy's in the nursery right now serving. Andy. Okay. And his whole family. Okay. We also had Christina and Victoria. Victoria there and Christina. In 2010, we had five baptisms. Five people who declared their lives to Jesus. And that was exciting. Five in 1 year. The average church of 100 people only baptizes one per year. Okay. I'm going to come back to that in a second because it's important that I come back to it. So remind me if I don't. 2011, moving forward, how many did we have? We had two. Adam. Okay, Adam Sequest. The second one in 2011 was Caleb. Caleb with a K. But we actually have two Calebs with a K now, guys. So Caleb. Oh, it is a C. That one's Caleb. Okay, All right, Caleb with a C. The only Caleb with a C. All right. All right, so 2011, two, and then last year. How many did we have last year? We had lots last year. How many did we have? Two went to 16. 16 baptisms last year. Isn't that crazy? And I stood before you guys in my room, and you guys thought I was crazy, and I was just like, you know, I really feel God saying 15 baptisms this year. I really feel like if we just proclaim the gospel, he'll honor that. And people will come to know him. If we just believe, if we just have faith, that if we're diligent, if we encourage one another and keep each other accountable to the proclamation of the gospel, his word will not return void. Amen? And some of you are looking at me like crazy, and it was a weird night, and I'm not the best communicator in those situations, am I? Because I'm all emotional, like a girl. I'm sorry, girls. But I just get all emotional, and it's hard to talk. But that night, I was telling you guys, if we just proclaim the gospel, I just feel God saying 15 people this year. And we had 16. Okay, so started off with Rebecca. This was at the Browns' house. We also had that same day, is that Blake? Yeah, Blake. And then we also had his brother Balin. Remember that squirmy fish that day? All right, we also had my boy, Jeffrey. Isn't that awesome picture? Yeah. And then number four, I'm a little prejudiced, but Carissa. Carissa holding my baby, who's real loud right now. And then also on that day, we had Skylar. We had Rick. And is that it for that day? I think so. Okay, moving forward on a later date, we had Nathan here, our first time baptizing in-house. We had Nathan. Remember that, Nathan? We had Mac. Mac should have been here today. Okay. We also had, remember this? No, this wasn't it. But yeah, we had Christopher, and Joel got that kid right. But then in the next one, remember Joel screwing up his own son's name. And we had Matthew following there that day also. And then on that same day, I think, was this Easter Sunday? Or was the next one Easter? Then we had Travis in the back. Travis. Okay, another date. I think this next one's Easter. We had Caleb with a K. Is that right? Okay, Caleb with a K. And then we also had Kaylee. So, yeah. All right, moving forward. Last set, we had Caleb Ward and Jonathan, my other boy. 16 baptisms this last year. Amen? What are we talking about? Jesus said, as you are going, make disciples. Start off by baptizing them as a public declaration that they're all in, that their lives are fully committed to Jesus Christ. We don't sprinkle little babies because they don't know what the heck that's about. We're asking you, in your conscious adulthood, moving into maturity, moving into adulthood, your best understanding that Jesus loves you, has died for you, that you're sinful and you need a Savior, are you willing to trust Him? And are you willing to dedicate your life to Him? 16 people saying yes this year, 27 total, counting Savannah, in the last 5 years. Now listen, a couple things. The average church baptizes one per year. The average church is 100 people in America. The average church baptizes one. God has blessed us. This is nothing about us. This is for His glory today. But I do believe He has called us to do this. And when we do it, He's faithful. In John chapter 4, I believe. Okay, at the end of John chapter 4, He says, the fields are ready for harvest. Pray that the Lord will send harvesters. The Way Fellowship Church, 5 years, 27 baptisms. Praise Jesus. We worship Him. What are we going to be about for the next 5 years? What will we have the faith to believe and act upon over the next 5 years? Will we get the gospel out there? Will we see more and more people come to experience God's love and forgiveness for them? Okay, and now, making a disciple starts with baptism, but there's a whole lot more to making a disciple. You also have to teach people to follow His commands, right? Teaching them to do what? To obey. To observe means to obey. To keep. To guard. To watch. All that He has commanded us. And anyone in the crowd today looking at some of those old faces and kind of feeling a little depressed about those who aren't with us anymore? Those who got the t-shirt and aren't walking it? We know some of those, yes? It's not just enough to dunk them, put the number down and send the report off and feel good about ourselves. It's also about discipling them, raising them up so that they follow everything Jesus told them to follow. I want to talk about two things under this. His greatest commandment, according to Jesus, the greatest commandment is to what? To love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We are called to love God. We need to be about teaching younger believers and each other, because we lose track sometimes, that we are to love God. We are to go back to the purpose statement to love Jesus. And number two, we need to teach each other how. What's the second commandment? To love your neighbor, each other. To love one another. To love God's people and those outside of His family. And guys, this is a place that we come together to love one another. You can't say, I hate the church. I don't want to have anything to do with the church. I've been burned by the church. The church is stupid. Well, yeah, there's a lot of stupid people in the church. Amen? Doug resembles that comment. Exactly. But God loves the church, and we're called, we're commanded to love each other and to come together corporately, gather together and worship Jesus and encourage one another and keep each other accountable, because, you know, it's a jungle out there, right? So we come together to help one another and to love, because it's nice to feel loved, isn't it? All right, and we do that today. But guys, this is not the main event. Sunday morning, as much as the American church makes out today as being the main event, to me, the main event is the midweek Bible study. If you're not going to a midweek Bible study, you're missing out. This is just the dessert. Midweek Bible study is mama's roast and mashed potatoes. So if you've not got plugged in, we got lots of Bible studies. Jim is offering a new Bible study this Tuesday night, men. We're going to just get together, shoot some pool, have some fun. And then the following 2 weeks, we're going to start getting into God's Word together, encouraging one another there. All right, moving forward. So we are called to make disciples by going, baptizing, and teaching. But we don't stop there. It says to make disciples of who? All nations. And it's been a lot of, you know, popular talk in theology circles in the last 20 years now. Nations is actually ethnos. You hear the word ethnicity, ethnos in there. It means people groups. It means people. Sorry. It means not going to Iran, but going to Iran and all the different people groups in Iran. It means, I'm sorry, go back in your mind to high school, talking to the mods, talking to the drama geeks, the choir geeks, the band geeks, the jocks, the academic nerds. All these different people groups in Phoenix, Arizona, we love everyone. God has called us to make disciples of everyone, all peoples. So we must share the gospel. I have a couple things here. Number one, Jesus is the gospel. We are to share Jesus, preaching Him both in word and deed. That means out of our mouth with the gospel, no one is going to come to love Jesus unless we talk about Jesus. And then number two, word and deed, we actually have to move our feet and resemble Jesus. That is part of our witness. The gospel coming out of our mouth and the witness that is visible to those that we come in contact, all these different people. Number two on the list, we are to share the gospel, preach the gospel as we gather and scatter. As we gather here and in midweek Bible study, and then as we scatter into our jobs and our neighborhoods. We are to make disciples of all groups of people doing these two things. Number three, I got seven of them. We are to preach the gospel as we are going. Just doing life, remember? Making disciples by baptizing them, teaching them to obey all commands as you are going. As we're doing life, as you're at the Circle K pumping gas, you're to make disciples. You're to share the gospel, so that process begins. All right, number four, am I counting right? We are to preach the gospel to all peoples. I already talked about that. Number five, we are to preach the gospel all the time, right? Are we supposed to just love Jesus on Sunday mornings? Are we supposed to follow Jesus just on Sunday mornings? Is the pastor just supposed to share the gospel on Sunday morning? We are called to preach the gospel all the time. Number six, we are to preach the gospel because we love Jesus and other people. greater love has no one than this, has no one known than this, than what? He who laid his life down for another. I got my King James versioneth and my NIV, and it's just all hazy there, but the basic point is there's no greater love than one who lays down his life for another. And Jesus Christ has laid his life down for us. Let's express our love back to him by following him and sharing him. And the second part of this, and to others. Guys, the Bible talks about a place of hell. The Bible is very clear about a place that exists for those who do not bend the knee to Jesus in this lifetime. And in Arizona, just by itself, in Arizona, there are only like 7% of Arizonans, only 7% of Arizonans who have actually consciously, in adulthood, been baptized into the name of Jesus. We share the gospel because we love other people and we want them to know the Savior because the stakes are high. And the last one, we preach the gospel because he commanded us to. Right? I mean, the king said, do it. And I know I don't enjoy doing it. It's scary walking up to people. You know, 5 years of doing this, being the pastor, having to lead and model, it's still scary for me. Okay? But it's not about me. If I had an eighth point, which I don't, because seven's God's perfect number, but if I had an eighth point today, we preach the gospel for his glory. Cool? So, we're never alone in this. You might be scared in doing it, nervous, apprehensive, fearful. You might burn a bridge, offend someone, they'll never talk to you again. But we shouldn't be afraid, because what are his last words? Behold, I'm with you always to the end of the age. I'm with you. I got your back. It's not about you, it's about my power. You can't change that person's heart anyway, or his mind. You seen all the stupid arguments on Facebook about politics? Everyone posting their political opinion and yelling at each other? I'm not going to be able to change anyone's mind about a political thing. Am I going to be able to change their mind about a religious thing? It's up to God to change the mind and the heart. You just be obedient, proclaim the gospel, let him worry about the heart and the mind. Amen? Because he's with us always. 5 years. 5 years. We've seen great things. 5 years. 27 baptisms. 5 years. People coming in to know the Lord. 5 years, this little thing called the Way Fellowship Church is getting a little bit bigger and more to manage. I sent out the email about children's last night. You know, there's more to manage and do. What are the next 5 years going to be like? What could the next 5 years be like if we are individually, not just as an institution, if we are, if you take the responsibility and determine that you're going to love, follow, and share Jesus every day. For what purpose? So that others might come to love, follow, and share Jesus. Let's pray. Let's celebrate. Continue to celebrate. Jesus, we thank you for the love and forgiveness that we do have in you. We thank you that you came to love us. You came to save us. You came to take upon yourself on that cross all of our sin. So, Lord, that we would not have to bear it and walk it around and walk around anymore with it. Lord, you've completely, through the cross, removed all sin. And, Lord, through your resurrection, you have demonstrated your great power, proving to us, Lord, that you can take away that sin. That we do have new life if we would just put our faith and trust in you. Lord, I pray for those who have never done that today, Lord. I pray that you would put within their heart a stirring to say yes to you, to go all in, to trust in you for their salvation, to trust that you are God, that you did rise again, that you will come back again. And I pray for your little church here today, Lord, that you would continue to bless us, that you would continue to change our hearts and mind, that you would continue to stir the flame, Lord, that we would be on fire, that we would be excited, Lord, that we would be unquenchable, unconquerable in your power of the gospel and just get it out there so that others might come to love, follow, and share you. And we pray this all in the powerful name of Jesus. Amen.